From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, P.J. O'Rourke, and Tom Baudet. And here again is your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. And now the game where we reward people for their victories over obstacles in life by throwing something at them that they're totally unprepared for. Questions about things they know nothing about. Our guest today, Elizabeth Edwards, is a lawyer and a law professor. She is the author of a best-selling memoir, and of course she is also married to John Edwards, a former senator and a Democratic candidate for president. Elizabeth Edwards, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It is fantastic to be with you.
It's great to have you. Thank you so much. Okay, you knew we were going to do this. Let's just get it out of the way quickly. How much do you pay for your haircuts?
What I understand is I pay more than you do.
Apparently, yes. Actually, I've got a great deal. I just go down to my local shoeshine guy and get a buffing. Cost me $5 plus tip. So I got to say, though, I mean, I had always assumed that one of the things that a candidate's wife does, particularly an accomplished candidate's wife such as yourself, is to keep the candidate, the husband, from doing the dumb things that will make him look bad. Did you somehow miss this one?
He did it in California.
Yeah, he was, exactly. We knew that when he got the $400 haircut, you must have been nowhere around.
And I understand that the standards are less for crazy in California.
Apparently. Can I ask, what did you say? What did you say to your husband when you heard that he had paid $400 for your haircut and it had hit the news?
He was making so much noise; it was hard to be heard. He was pretty happy about it, both the cost and the news.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that because just your role as a candidate's wife, as is more and more common these days. Of course, you, of course, a remarkably accomplished person in your own right.
But you're saying this before you batter me to death.
I know, exactly. We're buttering you up. No, my question is, how does someone such as yourself play the role of the candidate and hopefully, from your perspective, the office holder's wife? Do you have to find the right role for yourself? Do you worry about that?
I don't worry about it. I mean, as long as you're yourself during the process, you figure people will make their decision about whether they can tolerate you or not.
Really?
If they can tolerate you as you are, then you can keep being that way. And if they can't, then you find out pretty early.
I know that Michelle Obama, Barack Obama's wife, seems to have hit upon actually going out in public and insulting her husband in mild ways, you know. That Barack Obama, he never does this right. Ha ha. And this apparently is successful. It humanizes him, makes her look good. Have you thought about that?
But he makes mistakes like the haircut. I don't have to worry about humanizing myself.
There you are. Your husband, Mr. Edwards, of course, a very successful lawyer, extraordinarily gifted public speaker, very persuasive. Is there anything he couldn't convince you to do?
There is not a chance in the world I'm answering.
All right. Now you've been married for a long time, you and Mr. Edwards, and or Senator Edwards, and we understand that your first date was at a fast food restaurant.
Well, our first anniversary was at a fast food restaurant. Our first date was at a Holiday Inn lounge with a strobe ball and a disc jockey. I couldn't hear a word he said the entire time.
Really?
It was maybe the worst date I had in the previous 10 years. But,
really?
Yeah, but he kissed me on the forehead at the end of the date and won me over. Amy can tell you this is it's those sweet gestures men never do that actually win you over.
The fact that he kissed you on the forehead turned you around on this guy?
It did. It was a sweet gesture and a promise of sweet things to come.
Yeah.
And
it offsets the disco nicely, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
So you marry him.
Of course, in the dim light, with this disco ball, right, he might have just missed, you know.
Sure.
And the last 30 years have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, so, all right, so fine. You come around, he kisses you on the forehead. You're like, okay, you marry him. And then for your first anniversary, he takes you to a Wendy's. It was a Wendy's, right?
Wendy's.
And at that point, are you thinking, okay, maybe I was misled by the kiss on the forehead?
That's pretty much been the the tone for our entire marriage. We had a one-night honeymoon and, you know, and an anniversary at Wendy's, and really every subsequent anniversary at Wendy's. But I wouldn't trade the last 30 years.
Given the nature of our show, can you tell us something about him that most people don't know or wouldn't guess, something that's juicy?
He doesn't use any hair products at all.
I'm sorry, I'd like you to tell me something true.
He doesn't even use conditioner. He
no.
only uses shampoo. He doesn't use any hair product.
That's amazing.
I know.
Wow. Does that mean when you sort of touch it, does it like make a hollow noise? Does it...
like if you bump on it, there's an echo? No.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Does he take it
you
off?
Have to understand that Peter is unusually fascinated by hair.
Hair.
Yeah.
You know, you just gotta.
That's why I handed that one up. To
yeah,
you.
Just that. Just go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Enough about him. Let's talk about you. I did want to ask, how is your health? How are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling great. Except for like too many hot dogs at the baseball end of season. Picnic.
Sure. One of the odd things, of course, about your personal situation is that your illness became national news, which is not, shall we say, a typical experience for anybody. Was that difficult? You've written about it now, of course, in your own book.
I have, but I honestly did not expect all of the attention that it got. We knew there were people who were curious because John had canceled an event in Iowa to come back and be with me for some testing. And so people were curious, so we just decided to go ahead and announce it. We did not expect it to be teased every 6 or 7 minutes on CNN prior to that. And it just got a lot more attention than we thought, and it doesn't bother me. We've been living in the public eye for a while now.
Wow. I mean, I know, but at the same time, you've got some awfully personal questions from some people. If I had been in your situation, I'd be in jail for trying to strangle Katie Couric with her own lavalier mic.
You have to get in line.
Yeah, I guess so. But and people have criticized your husband and they've criticized you. That must be sometimes difficult to take. They don't know you or...
Except that they don't know me.
Exactly.
And, so you can let it roll off you. You're going to get criticism from a lot of quarters. The great thing has been that people who've actually been in my situation, those are the people whose opinions matter to me, and they've been unbelievably supportive. Mm. Unless you've been here, know what it's like to try to decide with real meaning how you're going to spend the rest of your life, with some appreciation that that's not an unlimited period of time, it's hard to know what decision you would make. Even the people who've been critical,
sure.
I honestly think if they were in the same situation, would decide to embrace the life that they've chosen just as hard as we have embraced ours.
And are your kids enjoying it? Because I know you have two young children as well as a daughter in college.
Yeah, the children enjoy the traveling. They enjoy the people. They do not enjoy the speeches.
Oh, of course not. Gosh, I can't imagine anything my children would hate more than having to sit still and listen to me. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they've never done it, so if they ever did it,
they wouldn't enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Well, it must be fun.
And they're perplexed by the fact that anyone would applaud their father.
That, yes. Well, Elizabeth Edwards, we're delighted to have you with us, and we have, in fact, invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're rich, famous, and hoovering the entire output of the Cali cartel up your surgically altered nose.
This week, actress Lindsay Lohan became the latest celebutante to check into rehab, and just in time for that, this month's issue of Blender magazine gave us a rundown of all the places the upper crust go to get clean. We're going to ask you three questions about the treatment centers of the rich and famous. Answer two of these questions right, you'll win our prize. Carl, who is Elizabeth Edwards playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Scott Lonaconis of Thompsonville, Michigan.
All right, ready to play, Mrs. Edwards?
I'm ready.
All right. First, we take you to the famous Promises Center in Malibu, where Lindsay Lohan will be heading soon to pay $49,000 a month to sober up. Among the things
that haircut's looking cheap.
Isn't it, though? Who knew what a bargain it was? Among the things that Promises offers is what kind of therapy? A, equine therapy, described by the admissions counselor as, quote, therapy in the presence of a horse. B, what they call dailies therapy, in which the celebrity is shown film of what they look like the day they entered the treatment facility. Or C, aura massage therapy, in which New Age specialists color correct the patient's energy field.
So those would like to do Scott justice on this, but it can't be the horse, right?
I mean, it
can't be the horse.
So you think it's not the horse? Okay.
Yeah. It seems to me the most effective would be to show them what they look like. But that just seems too obvious, and it is Malibu. So I'm kind of thinking that it must be number three. It must be that aura.
You think people are paying $49,000 a month to have somebody massage their auras?
Yeah.
All right, that's your choice, aura massage therapy?
I don't know. Yeah, no. Sure.
Let's sure,
aura
yes.
Aura massage therapy.
No, it was the horse.
Ooh. No.
Equine therapy. They ride horses or do something with horses, and it makes them feel better. I don't know how. Patients, guests there also enjoy yoga, acupuncture, gourmet food.
Now, I would have gone for the yoga and acupuncture, but the horses. The horses
was just too much. All right. All right. You have two more chances here.
Actually ridden a horse drunk.
Yeah.
Why doesn't that surprise us?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, it's just one of those Republican things that you do. You know?
Yeah. And then I want to invite you to Mule Days in Benson, where that's.
There you go. Yeah. You're not getting me on one of those sober, I'll tell you. Yeah, no.
All right. You have two more chances here. We have faith. We're moving off now to Antigua's Crossroads Center, founded by none other than Eric Clapton. And despite costing $19,500 a month, relative bargain, offering hot tubs, again, acupuncture, yoga, gourmet food, they say they are tough on their clients. They force their guests to do what? A, they're only allowed to drink tap water, no matter how much they complain. B, they have to make their own bed. Or C, they cannot take calls from their agents, publicists, or stylists.
You know, logic does not seem to be serving me very well here. So, let's see, the tap water seems a little silly, but so did the horse.
Well, I guess you just have to ask, if you were, you know, trying to sober up, trying to break the addiction, what would be most useful? Does that help at all?
Well, I think not getting the calls would be the most useful. So I'm going to go with logic again.
You're going to go with logic
again. Not getting the calls.
And you're going to go not getting the calls from your publicist's agent or stylist. Yeah.
That tone is not.
Yeah. You're tipping your pitch here.
Well, you know.
So I'm thinking that can't be it now that you.
choices are not being allowed to drink bottled water, tap water only, having to make your own bed, or you can't take calls from your agents, publicists, or stylists.
Okay, now I've eliminated the third one because you were clearly unhappy with that choice.
I was just stinging about your comments about my hair, really. But no, that's fine. That's fine. So
okay, so they're making their own. They're about making their own beds.
Making their own beds?
If it's good enough for my children, it's good enough for them.
Right. Very good. That's the answer. Yes. They have to make their own bed. This is not as harsh as it sounds, as the slightly more downscale Impact Center in Pasadena, California, where people like Leif Garrett have had to scrub their own toilets.
Just Leif Garrett. Oh, that takes me back.
Yeah, does it? It does, doesn't it?
Oh, boy.
All right. Now, you're one for two with one to go. You get this. You will win it all. We take you now to what Blender magazine describes as the rehab of last resort. The place you go where everything else has failed. Which is what? A, Them Krabok Monastery in Thailand, where Buddhist monks force patients to drink an herbal medicine which induces projectile vomiting. B, Rough Rider Hunters Camp and Sobriety Center in Darby, Montana, where you have to stay sober because you won't eat if you can't shoot straight. Or C, the Center of Higher Consciousness in Miami, Florida, where Jackie Stallone, Sly's mother and a well-known psychic, lectures you every day for 6 hours about the right way of living.
Scared straight.
I have to say, that last one sounds like the place of last resort.
You think so? You know you've hit bottom where you're throwing yourself upon the mercy of Jackie Stallone.
For 6 straight hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. So we have Thailand, which I'm thinking is not it.
Pham Krabok Monastery in Thailand.
Yeah. I just can't see the handing a bunch of drunks guns.
That's the platform of the Republican Party right there.
It stayed perfectly nonpartisan. I try to save my political venom for an actual election year, right? And then I think spend it in 2007. But when you're talking about drunks with guns, cutting pretty close to the knuckle there.
Listen, I have my medals from my years taking riflery at military bases. So
yeah, that scares me and a wife. My wife happens to be a pretty good shot too, and it's just, I find that just terrifying.
Yeah.
So the place of last resort. I'll go with the guns.
You're going to go with the guns? You're going to go with the Rough Rider Hunters Camp and Sobriety Center in Darby, Montana?
That was really not a good tone of voice.
I'm all self-conscious now. Or I'm more self-conscious now, to be more precise. But all right, so, okay, well, you have to make a choice.
So I didn't like the way you talked about Miami, and I didn't like the, so I go back to the choice I eliminated at first, and so we're back at the monastery in Thailand.
You're going to choose
that. I'll stick with that name.
All right, the monastery in Thailand. You're right. Congratulations. Guests sleep on steel beds, 6 to a room. They're encouraged to go native, shave their heads, wear, you know, pink pajamas and plastic sandals, though foreigners are allowed a mosquito net just to be slightly more comfortable.
Sounds like spring break in Kabul.
Yeah.
Including the projectile vomiting.
Not many of us came back much better for that.
Carl, how did Elizabeth Edwards do in our quiz?
Peter, she read you better than anybody else.
I know.
Wow.
I feel naked.
I've been listening for a very long time.
Well, Elizabeth Edwards, you had 2 correct answers, so you win our prize for Scott Lonaconis, and congratulations.
Well done. Elizabeth Edwards is an attorney, the author of the memoir Saving Graces, and of course the wife of former Senator and 2008 presidential candidate John Edwards. Elizabeth Edwards, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck and be well.
Thank you so much. Bye.